We also, we have a special guest this morning, their first time being here. Evan and Christiana Dillon had a baby boy, and they're here today. Wesley Moses Dillon is here. I've lost track of him. No, I just talked to him. He said they're here. Oh, okay. Excellent. Been praying for you guys. Grateful for God's blessing. Continue to pray for you as grow in parenthood. So Proverbs chapter 10. We need to pray first, and then I'll share my comments. But we always need to pray, but this one in particular. So Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, even as we're reminded, Lord, you are the giver of life. We thank you for all these kids. We thank you for Wesley. Lord, I pray that this would be his first of many, many Sundays spent worshiping you in your local church. Lord, I pray for your continued blessings upon our young parents in our church, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon them. You would protect them and overwhelm them with your mercy and grace. Lord, I ask as we spend time in your word this morning, you would give us ears to hear and just a heart that are soft. Lord, we want wisdom. Lord, you tell us that if we lack it, to ask for it. And we're here this morning, Lord, saying we lack wisdom. Give us wisdom to live life for you and for your glory. Give us wisdom to know how to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow Jesus. What that looks like, moment by moment, day by day, in the very details of life. Lord, we desperately need you. And so, Lord, please pour out your spirit upon us. For we recognize, Lord, we can't do anything apart from you at work in us, apart from your grace, apart from your power. And so, please give us it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we jump into chapter 9 this morning, what we're doing is we're entering a new section in the book of Proverbs. And so, the first 9 chapters sort of kind of hung together. Like you could take chunks of them because there was a theme, or you could take the whole chapter, and the whole chapter was sort of talking about a theme, and then it all built up to chapter 9 where we saw that Lady Wisdom calls out and she offers us an invitation. And at the same time, there's this other lady, Lady Folly, and she's over there on the rooftop as well screaming at us, and she's offering us an invitation, and we were forced to make a decision. Are you going to accept Lady Wisdom's invitation, follow her and receive life, or are you going to ignore God? Are you going to ignore Jesus and just buy into the world, buy into foolishness, and follow Lady Folly, and which ultimately would lead us to death? And so that was the end. Solomon's been sort of discussing things, urging his son. God's been at work in those 9 chapters, urging us, choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. When you live life, choose wisdom. Every time. When you're faced with that decision to follow Jesus or put that cross down and follow the world or follow your own desire, follow some idolatrous craving you have in your heart, don't choose that one. Choose wisdom. Wisdom leads to life. Wisdom brings blessing. Wisdom brings fruitfulness. Wisdom is the way in which God has created us to live our lives. And so those first 9 chapters led us in that direction. And then if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, there's a bunch more chapters. And we find ourselves in that section of Proverbs. And it's different. It's different because what we find are proverbs. We find these short, pithy, truthful statements where sometimes we see this is how you should live and not like this. If you live this way, then this happens, but if you live this way, then that happens. And there's not a lot of like real good themes in the sense of combining this. And you're gonna see that here this morning. We're gonna work our way through this chapter, and we're going to find ourselves just sort of bouncing around from one thing to the next, one sort of area of our life to another area of our life to another situation, and then back around to this and that. And so this next section is like that. And so it's not this sort of easy sort of narrative theme that kind of holds it all together. There's just these short, pithy, truthful statements where God gives us wisdom for specific areas of our lives. And it's good. But as I was preparing to preach this, I was just thinking, how do I do this? How many points should we have in this first message? And I thought about a number of things. Let me share this quote from Kathleen Nielsen. She said this in regards to Proverbs. She says, from the moment we wake, she's talking about life, life actually comes at us in the same kind of fluid chaos that Proverb presents as it teaches us that wisdom is applying God's truth to all of it, all of life in all of its messiness. That's what I love about Proverbs. I'm sure if you spend time reading a proverb a day, that's probably what you like about it as well, is you're going to find something. In whatever chapter you find yourself in, from chapter 10 on, you'll find something that will just immediately apply to an area in your life that you are most aware of, that you're crying out, God, give me wisdom for this. Give me wisdom about money. You're going to find something. Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know how to talk to my kids today. Lord, give me some wisdom. There's going to be a verse that you will find probably in any chapter from 10 on. It's going to maybe have a couple of them, but it's there because Proverbs was sort of written in that way. And then it made me think of this. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9, God instructs us as parents to teach our children diligently about God and his ways. And it says this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so if we had time, which we don't, but this verse applies to what we're about to do, because there's this instruction as parents, basically, these words that I command you today, let them be everything to you, and let us talk about them all the time in every place. So if you're a parent, you know what this is like. It means when you're driving to practice, you're instructing. It means that another kid comes in and they could have another issue, and your job is to be talking to them about God and his ways in this issue. And then if you have more than two kids, and it doesn't even matter, you could have one kid because they change from subject to subject based upon what's happening in their life. There's something new to talk about, and God has called us as parents to train them diligently. And what that looks like sometimes is you're just kind of like throwing things in every direction all the time. It doesn't matter where you're at, because the call as parents is to sort of bring wisdom to chaos. And the way we do that is you can have a family meeting, and those are good things, but a lot of times in parenting you're just throwing wisdom and guidance and helping to apply the gospel here and there, and it's just taking many shapes and forms. You guys understand what I'm talking about? Proverbs is like that. That's all I'm trying to say. Proverbs is like that, and we're going to see that here this morning. We're going to work our way through the, I'm going to call it, wonderful chaos of God's wisdom given to us. And so if you're a point person, meaning you need to have points, you're going to get, I think, 32 points this morning. We're going to work our way through each proverb. We're going to let God's wisdom hit us here, and then we're going to take a step here, and we're going to get hit here, and then we're going to maybe take a step back, and we're going to get hit in the back of the head with it, and then we're going to move forward, we're going to get hit again, and then when we're spinning, we're going to get hit by it again over here, just in a different nuance. But the wonderful part about this is through it, God speaks to us. And so I do not, I'm going to set some of you free who are not point people, I do not expect you to walk away with 32 points. My prayer has been all week that each and every person here would walk away with one proverb. Kind of think about it like if you're reading your devotion and you were, let's say it was October 10th, and you happen to find yourself here and you read it, you're just looking, Lord, just give me one thing. Surprise and delight me with one verse, one bit of truth for one bit of life, and we're going to trust that is going to affect every area of our life, because that's how it works. So I have 32 points. We'll summarize it like this. God gives us wisdom to live a righteous and fruitful life for his glory and our good. So let us pursue this wisdom. Proverbs 1, or 10:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, a glad father, but, I'm sorry, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Now, just another side note, I don't have much time to address absolutely everything with 32 points, and so some are going to be flybys. And I may skip some. I have little X's next to some of them, just so you know. So if I do skip, I'm just trying to prepare you so you don't get distracted along the way in here. We're going to hit as much as we can, but I don't have as much time. So anyways, Proverbs 10:1. This proverb is meant to make the son or any child pause and take a close look at how his or her life affects his parents. And again, just keep in mind, there's these two things being contrasted here. There's wisdom and folly. There's the righteous and the wicked. And they have consequences to them. And here it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. If he is wise, meaning if he fears God and is following Jesus, then he's going to bring a lot of joy to his parents. So if you're a kid here today and you want to know like what makes your mom and dad happy when they think about parenting, ultimately at the end of the day, parents, what we want our kids to love Jesus. It doesn't matter if you grow up and you become a doctor or you end up being a waiter or whatever your career may be. At the end of the day, what makes mom and dad most happy is a son or a daughter that has been saved by Jesus, that fears God, that denies themselves, picks up their cross, and seeks to follow Jesus. And this brings great joy to parents. But if he's a fool who ignores God and his ways, his foolishness will be a source of sorrow to his parent. No parent wants to think about their kids growing up and ignoring God and his ways, walking every step headlong in the direction of just hell and God's wrath. That brings great sorrow. Any child that loves his parents wants to honor his parents and bring them joy instead of sorrow. And you can do this according to wisdom, and that's choosing to embrace Lady Wisdom instead of Lady Folly. Verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. A person might get rich in this life by doing evil things. A lot of people get rich by doing evil things. You can go sell drugs illegally and get rich. You can steal from your neighbor and get rich. You can figure out, if you're really good with computers and you're kind of a hacker, you can reach into other people's bank accounts and take their money, which this happens. This happens all the time. Many people, you probably know people this happens to. They can go into your bank account and they can take your money illegally and put it in their account and try to figure that out. And for some reason, sometimes you can't figure it out, but you can do that. People do that all the time and they get rich off of it. Or you can lie on your taxes and get rich. You can do all sorts of just sort of illegal, wicked things and get rich. You can cut corners at work and get rich. But in the end, anything, what wisdom teaches us here, anything gained through wickedness will not profit anyone. Only righteousness delivers from death or judgment. And this righteousness can be attained by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And so wisdom teaches us here, don't pursue evil ways to get rich. Profits no one. Verse 3, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. There's a difference between the way the Lord treats the righteous and the wicked. He protects the righteous. He takes care of those who fear him and follow him. One of our favorite verses when I think about the sovereignty of God and how God is at work in the lives of those who love him comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, where it just communicates God's at work in all things for the good of those who love him. And so those who fear God, those who have been saved by faith alone and Christ alone and are seeking to follow God, we just know that God's at work in everything in the lives of those who fear him. This doesn't mean that the righteous will never suffer or go without, but it does mean that God will always be at work in the lives of those who trust him and follow Jesus for our good. We may not always get what we want, but the Lord will always give us what we need. But the wicked, those who ignore God, will find themselves being opposed by God. It says he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. There's no blessing for those who ignore him. There's no blessing for those who, Solomon says, are wicked. You might say something like this. James 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Isn't this true? Some of these proverbs, that's how they're meant when you read them and you come across one that's like, that's it. And we've been crying out, Lord, give us wisdom. I need your insight on this matter. Lord, what should I do here? Sometimes you hit certain things and they hit you, and the sense of reading of Proverbs, you might just find yourself saying, yes. Kind of like singing that doxology at the end. Like I'm sitting there and David's playing and I'm just going like this secretly. Like just keep doing this. Keep playing this. Just let us keep singing the praises of God, because there's these things that are just true, and it's like, let's just do this. And that's how these Proverbs hit us sometimes. And so when you read things like a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich, I just say, yes, that's true. That's true in every area of our lives. Laziness produces nothing. It absolutely produces nothing. It's very hard to earn a paycheck and provide for your family and grow any wealth by not working. It's also very hard to get good grades, graduate high school or college without studying. It's very difficult to have a good marriage and be lazy and not put any work into it. If you're going to be a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church, you got to work at it. You don't just wake up and be like, that's what I'm going to do today, and do nothing. A slack hand, it just produces nothing. Pretty much everything in this life requires work. God has created us to work hard at everything he allows for us to be involved in. And if you want any sort of fruitfulness in anything, wisdom teaches us, work at it. Work diligently at it. And if you don't know how to work at some things, because some things aren't as easy to figure out, continue working until you figure it out. Doing nothing produces nothing, according to wisdom. Verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. And so sometimes Proverbs, they kind of build off of each other. This would be one of them. This proverb builds off of the last one. There is a time to rest and there is a time to work. Or there's a time to play video games, and then there's a time to make your bed, do your chores, and actually study and go to work. We're not saying you can't play video games. We're just saying there's a season for it, meaning there's a time in the day for it or a time in the week for it, but that time is not all the time, if you know what I mean. There's a time to listen to podcasts. There's a time to scroll through social media. There's a time to sit down and watch your favorite show on Netflix or whatever it is you want to watch. And then there is a time to clean the house. There's a time to do the dishes. There's a time to make a meal. There's a time to be with your kids. There's a season for all of these things. There's a time for hobbies. There's a time for fun. And then there is a time for work. And what wisdom teaches us here is that fools mix these times up. Fools mix these times up. Fools spend more time doing the things they shouldn't be doing and neglecting the things that they should be doing. A farmer who sleeps during harvest time misses out on what? The harvest. A parent who neglects caring for his kids and discipling his kids misses out on the harvest. A husband who neglects his wife, or a wife who neglects her husband, misses out on the harvest. And this brings with it, at times, regret and shame. There's nothing wise about being lazy. Verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. A righteous person is rewarded with blessings while a wicked person is not. This proverb may serve us by helping us to discern who the wicked person is. The wicked conceals violence. They cover it up. They lie about the truth. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Sometimes, I know we're flying through these, but like when I read the Proverbs, I'm not saying you got to read it this way, like sometimes I just have to sit there and just read it over and over again and think through it and imagine it. Because sometimes it's built with like illustrations and things we're supposed to think about, supposed to make us feel a certain way because it's meant to impact us. And so we get these truths really in poetic form. And it takes a little bit of imagination sometimes. And sometimes it's just real cut. It's real just clear for us to understand. But what we see here is a righteous person will not only receive blessings, as stated in verse 6, but here we see that they'll be remembered in a good way. People will have fond memories of the righteous. When you think righteous, think those who have been saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone and by the grace of God are picking up their cross and seeking to follow Lady Wisdom or seeking to follow Jesus. And so what he's saying is there going to be a blessing? Fond memories of people like this, but the wicked will not be remembered this way. Instead, we're told that their name will rot. So think legacy here. Think about, okay, when I die, how am I going to be remembered? And what Solomon is teaching his son here is that the memory of the righteous, it's a blessing. It's like fresh air. When you bring up grandpa or you bring up grandma or this person, they passed away, it's a blessing. This person spurred me on. This person brought a lot of joy. But the memory of the wicked, he said, no, it's going to rot. It's going to rot. It's not just going to be forgotten. It's going to have a stench to it. When you bring up their name, and you can think about people in history, or you can think about family members that you're not too fond of because they were evil people who did evil things, and sometimes you don't even want to bring their name up because they smell so bad. Their memory of it is just, it's a stench. And again, we're confronted. Do you want to walk with the righteous? Do you want to walk with the wisdom, or do you want to walk with the wicked? Two outcomes here. One memory is a blessing. The other one is just a stench. It's just the name rots. Verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. This is one of those where I just say yes. And we're also introduced to the babbling fool here. But before we talk about them, what we learn here is wise people are learners. Just think that like the Lord saves us and he calls us to walk in humility. And when we think about humility, humility looks like being a learner, somebody who's willing to receive commandments, somebody who's willing to listen to instruction, somebody who has ears opened, mouth shut, paying attention to the wise and wanting to learn. Somebody who sits before God and just says, Lord, I'll take it, whatever you got. Lord, speak to me. I'm here. I'm ready to listen. So wise people listen. Wise people receive commandments. But fools, they babble. Fools, they run their mouths. They do all the talking and none of the listening. And in the end, Solomon says, they come to ruin. And so he helps us see, okay, you can be wise and listen, or you can be a babbling fool, and both have outcomes. One grows, the other one comes to ruin. Which one do you want to be? Who do you want to follow? Verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. God has created us to live transparent and honest lives. There's freedom in integrity. Freedom from being found out as a fraud. There's security in knowing that we have nothing to hide from anyone. And this allows us, in a sense, think about it, when you feel free to live your life because you're not hiding anything, it produces this boldness to just be who God's created you to be. As you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. But there is no security for the crooked. Liars have to live their lives covering up their lies, knowing that sooner or later, their lies will be found out. Wisdom teaches us here, walk in integrity. Verse 10, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. A person who winks the eye is someone who kind of say one thing, knowing that that's what you want to hear, but then there's this little wink like, yeah, okay, we got this, but we don't really got this. We're going to say what you want to hear, but not actually do what needs to be done. And so they wink the eye. They're deceptive, and they cause trouble. And problems are never solved this way. Solutions require truth and respect. Babbling fools like to talk. Instead of clearly and truthfully discussing something, they just talk and use their words to confuse people without ever actually dealing with the problem. But in the end, again, babbling fools come to ruin. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Think about it like this. Think about it like your water bottle right now, if you had one, or a cup, and you were thirsty. You have two options. You can get up and you can go to the drinking fountain. You guys know where the drinking fountain is back there? You've never used it. It's a good drinking fountain. I think it's filtered. It's good water. Okay, you can fill your cup up there, or you have the option of going to the restroom and taking that same cup and dipping it in the toilet. Which place do you want to fill your cup up? Where would you rather choose to drink water from? And so just have that in mind, because drinking from the water fountain is a good thing. It's clean and it gives life. And Solomon tells us here that the mouth of the righteous is like water from the water fountain. It's good, it's clean, it gives life, while the mouth of the wicked is toilet water. It's not good, it's not clean, and it destroys those who hear it. And so what you're going to see over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs is that our words matter. Our words matter. They can give life, they can be refreshing, or they can hurt, they can be corruptive, and they can destroy. Parents, your words will either give life to your kids or they'll hurt your kids. Husbands and wives, your words will either build up your marriage or they will absolutely destroy your marriage. Fools use their words to destroy. I think wisdom would say, don't be a fool. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Conflicts are created and continue on because of hatred. But Solomon teaches us here that love is the solution. Think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved us, he gave his son. Or Romans 5, verse 8, where it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so what we learn is love covers offenses. We could take communion today with joy and with great faith because God loved us and covered our offenses with the blood of Jesus. He came after us and he saves us. Walking in wisdom means we seek to love people around us by actively seeking to forgive people who have offended us. Love covers a multitude of offenses. Hatred will fan into flame offenses, but a genuine love for Jesus and others will cover these offenses. Wise people don't create conflict. Instead, they seek to reconcile it quickly. I'd add this. Wise people aren't easily offended. If you're easily offended, you might want to just plant in verse 12 and just take a look. Am I allowing love, God's love for me, to rule my love for others? Or do I find myself easily offended by the things other people say and do? Hatred stirs it up. Love covers. Verse 13, on the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. Understanding lips belong to those who are wise, to those who fear God, obey God, and follow Jesus. But for those who lack sense, those who don't fear God and follow Jesus, Solomon tells us they need discipline. There's God's grace in discipline. God leads us to wisdom at times through the law. And when we break the law, the Lord says he disciplines those whom he loves. And so discipline is not bad. Discipline keeps us out of the ditch. Discipline reminds us, hey, you've just accepted folly's invitation, and you've taken a wrong step, and at times we need to be led back, and sometimes that looks like discipline. The Lord's kind in using discipline. Verse 14, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin. Again, our words matter. Fools destroy everything with their words. And honestly, you can just think for a moment, okay, when was the last foolish thing I said in a conflict with somebody, and what was the fruit of it? Just think about a rash word you communicated. Fools destroy everything with their words. They ruin their relationships with corrupting talk, with perverted talk, with gossip and slander, with lies and anger. Wise people are quick to listen and slow to speak. Instead of sharing their immediate thoughts, he says, wise people, they lay up knowledge. They listen. They seek to understand before they blow up and just share whatever it is they want to share. Verse 15, a rich man's wealth is a strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. Money in and of itself is not evil. And so in the book of Proverbs, he's going to talk a lot about money. Money in and of itself is not evil. It's the love of money and the worship of money that is the evil thing at times. And in this proverb, Solomon is teaching us that having wealth is better than not having wealth. And I think it's just practical in the sense of stewarding God's money that he gives to us. He's not necessarily talking about becoming rich at all costs. He's just saying wealth is a strong city. It protects from many troubles. And when you think about it, here's how it protects. It can pay for things that are broken. It can buy you a nice home in a safe area. It can get you out of the way of a hurricane. It can do all sorts of things that if you didn't have money, you can't do. Not having wealth can't do these things. Verse 17, just skip 16. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path of life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. This is true. They're all true, but some just kind of hit home more than others. Fools reject correction. Now just think for a moment. How do you do at receiving correction? When somebody offers you sort of an observation or maybe a better idea or something for you to look at from a different perspective, how do you receive it? Fools refuse to listen to advice. And I feel like, honestly, as we go through, we kind of bounce back and forth at times, honestly. Sometimes I receive well, sometimes it's like, no, I'm a fool. And again, this is why we have this section of scripture, and this is why we get to meditate on these things, because we're not in home, we're not in heaven yet, and so we need to hear things like this. But fools reject correction. Fools think they're right, even when they're wrong, because they're proud. If we're going to love Jesus and follow Jesus, then what wisdom would say is embrace learning from others. Be a learner. Don't start with the idea that I think I know everything. Maybe start with the idea I might have something to learn. God might be teaching me something here. Verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Slander happens. This is whenever you see slander, when you start hearing God giving us wisdom about speech and things like that, those we want to pay close attention to these things. We want to pay close attention to all of them, but slander happens whenever someone shares something about someone else that is not true or perhaps partially true that results in damaging that person's reputation. That's everything you're going to see on the media in regards to political ads and things like that, based upon what you're doing. They're attempting to tell the truth, but I think, from my perspective, would be, and this might be slander, they're persuading you to vote in a certain way most of the time to protect myself by slandering somebody else. I got 10 text messages already today slandering both candidates. by using always and no and just like everybody's evil. If you were to look at my text messages and you get on there. Anyways, the point is this. Wise people don't slander. Slander destroys. Slander will absolutely kill your marriage. It will destroy a church. It will destroy your business. If employees slander bosses, bosses slander employees, and it works like it just, it doesn't build up. It just corrupts. And Solomon said, fools slander. Fools slander people. Verse 19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Wisdom teaches us that it's better to say nothing most of the time than it is to say too much all the time. There's wisdom in that. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Our words are connected to our hearts. Anybody have anybody you ever interact with and you just walk away from them and you're just like, I love talking to that person. Like it's just, you look forward to seeing them. You look forward to engaging a conversation with them because when you leave, it's like you just feel like a better person. You feel like you might have had a bad day, you encounter them and all of a sudden like you have hope. Anybody, you have friends like that? People that, like there are just people sometimes that have a gift of encouragement. But what he's getting at in his Proverbs here is you got to recognize when we speak, our words matter. Our words are going to leave people feeling something. Go back to that old saying. It's either going to make them feel refreshed, like, man, I just got some choice silver. I just got water from the fountain. Or sometimes you leave people and it's like, no, they just gave me toilet water. Like you feel like you got to go take a shower after you get done talking to them because it's like you just feel dirty and you just feel like, that was a terrible conversation. There's nothing uplifting about it. And so he's just saying, wisdom here is that the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. We want to be that type of person, don't we? By God's grace. We want to walk in wisdom. And when our kids leave conversations with us, I hope they walk away with silver instead of toilet water. When you guys leave here today from interacting with one another, I hope people leave here with choice silver by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit at work in us. What's coming out of our mouths and what effect does it have upon others? Wisdom would just say the heart of the righteous, their words, it's like choice silver. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. That's very similar to what I just said, so I'm moving on for the sake of time. 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It is far better to fear the Lord and follow Jesus than it is to ignore God and his ways. The Lord, he blesses those who trust him. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Think about it like this. I immediately thought of Proverbs chapter 3. Just, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he's going to make our paths what? Yeah, he's just going to, there's blessing in it. I'm just acknowledging the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord that as we walk and we live life, I don't have all of the answers, but I know that he promises to make straight the path those who trust him. And what that looks like is if I'm off that path, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to put it back on that path. I'm just going to acknowledge, I'm going to fear him, and I'm going to trust him that he blesses those who put their faith in him. Verse 23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. And so when you think of this, it's just fools love sin. They find it entertaining. They're drawn to it. They like to watch it. They like to listen to it. They like to talk about it. It's entertaining to them. So sometimes we read a proverb and you got to stop and you say, what's my attitude towards sin? Do I think sin is a joke? I have my Sunday school answer. I know what I should say today, but what do you say Monday morning? Or what do you say Friday night? Or what do you say when you're at your job with your fellow employees? Do you think sin is funny? Do you embrace sin and you watch it and you just think, that's pretty cool? Does it make you laugh? Well, Solomon say, no, fools think that way. You know why? Jesus died for sin. That's what God thinks about sin. He actually hates it. He hates it so much, he sent his son to die for it, to pay the penalty for it, to exhaust the wrath of God for it. Verse 24. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Both the wicked and the righteous will ultimately get what they deserve. The wicked will not go unpunished for their sins, and the righteous will one day receive their reward of eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Verse 25, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Okay, you can be wicked or you can be righteous. You can ignore Jesus or you can be found in Christ. And what he's saying here is when the tempest passes, when the wicked is no more, but the righteous will be established forever. Listen to these words by Jesus. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Where are you going to build your house? Fools ignore Jesus, and when that storm comes, because they built on the sand, what's left? Fools come to ruin. The righteous, who build their house on the rock, who trust in Jesus, they stand. Not because they're great, but because of the rock. Because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Where do you want to build your life? Verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. How many of you like to sit by a fire and have that smoke just blast you in the face? Nobody. Like, we just hate it. That's the point of this proverb, is like, think about that. You hate it. And so what he's likening that to is if you're lazy, your boss is pretty much going to hate you too. Maybe a little nicer than that. But no boss wants to have a lazy person working for them. Or no coach really enjoys coaching lazy players. And again, the Lord has created us to work. And so whatever the Lord has called us to, the wisdom here teaches, work hard as unto the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Don't be smoke in the eyes of your boss or your coach. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. When you think of the hope of the righteous brings joy, think about suffering. In James, we learn we're to count it all joy when we meet various trials. What brings us joy when trials hit our lives? Hope. Hope in what? Hope in God. Hope in the one who created us. Hope in the one who sent his son to die for us. Hope in a life beyond this life. Hope in knowing that this trial, though present, will not last forever. Because we have a Savior who died for us, that we might spend eternity with him without pain, without suffering, without sin. So hope brings joy. Verse 29, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. It's the way of Jesus. Evildoers don't choose this way. And for this reason, they end up receiving God's wrath instead of his grace. I feel like in this chapter, he really is sort of driving home this, like, choose wisdom, and in choosing wisdom, what you're doing is you're choosing the way of the righteous and not the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked perishes every time. Verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Imagine a large oak tree in a field, and near it is just a simple weed. The oak tree has its roots deep in the land. It's planted. It's firmly there. While the weed, we all know, you can just walk by and just pluck it up. And again, there's just this picture. Which one do you think is going to last? The oak tree with its roots or the weed? In a similar way, we learn that there is that, those, is that we're called to have our roots deep in the gospel, deep in Christ, trusting that when they're firmly planted in Him, when we're deeply rooted in the gospel, we last in that. So where are you going to put your roots? Who are you going to trust in for your salvation? Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Again, there's this common theme, and he just hammers this throughout this entire book. The righteous seem to be a blessing to others, and they receive life from God, while the wicked end up hurting others and getting judged by God. And lastly, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. When Jesus saves us and declares us righteous, He also empowers us to pursue righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. He changes us from the inside out. And what we see here is that this heart change affects the way we speak. Righteous people know what is acceptable to say. By the grace of God, they seek to apply Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, only that which is good, which is acceptable, which builds up, which gives grace to those who hear. The Lord does that. But the mouth of the wicked, they don't. The mouth of the wicked ignore Ephesians 4:29. What they know is foolishness, and from their foolish hearts, they speak what is perverse. And so again, just take a look at what your words say. It's what happens when we read Proverbs. We're confronted. Wicked righteousness. Folly, wisdom. And it's revealed in the way we work. It's revealed in the way we speak. And so what do your words say about your heart? Again, I know this is a lot to tackle. We're probably not going to do this every single week like this. I'm not asking you to take it all in. But as we leave here today, just think about what one proverb stood out this morning. When you heard it, what did the Lord say? What's the Lord after? What's the Lord revealing? And I would encourage you, take that one proverb home this week. Meditate on it. Let it just roll around in your mind and pray and ask the Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to think about this. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Help me to put this into practice this week. Allow for this one truth to affect all of my life. And by the grace of God, may we walk in wisdom. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us your Spirit, Lord. Empower us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.